Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that tries to intersect faith and values with different issues that are going on in our culture, locally and globally. Been doing it now for over 20 years. What a joy that's been. Thank you for listening on a weekly basis. Also, thank you to Perry's Fine Jewelry and also Ruth Chris Steakhouse for your sponsorship of the show. Without you, this show would not be possible. Well, we are continuing to live in crazy times. I've never seen anything quite like this. Amazingly, some of you may know that a year and a half ago, I was approached by my publishers asking me to write another book. And I thought, well, you know, a subject that we might want to address is anxiety, because then a year and a half ago, it was the major negative emotion adults were experiencing, and it was also the second major reason for teen suicide. So I started working on a book entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety. It came out April the 21st. Little did I know the crises we would be in right now and how this book would address the major negative emotion folks are experiencing. If a year and a half ago it was anxiety, it's now anxiety on steroids. CNN recently did a poll that said there's been an increase of 34% in anti-anxiety medications in the last 2 months. So this book is trying to give 12 practical suggestions on how to handle anxiety. We've covered some of them over the last several weeks. We'll continue to do so in the next couple of weeks, and I hope you'll enjoy a new perspective on how to handle anxiety. My friend Ed Billick has his microphone open, the producer and dear friend of this show. Ed, strange times, aren't they?
They sure are, David. And, you know, folks, you think about, okay, the book came out at this time, but usually we have some outstanding, very interesting guests in studio with us. And we go down many paths, whether they're ex-NFL football players or basketball players or people of interest that have a strong faith life. Well, we haven't been doing that. So not only is this book available for you to purchase, it gives us content for this show, which is right on during these COVID-19 times, during this pandemic. It's perfectly set in to go through these chapters, and it's been very enlightening, and we hope you're enjoying David as he goes through the different chapters. I think we're going to talk another one today, aren't we?
We are indeed, Ed, and for our listeners, if they'd like the book, they can get it on Amazon.com or any bookstore online. It's available and it's not real expensive. I wish I could give all of you a free copy of it. I've got that for my church members, Moments of Hope Church. I'm going to give all of them a free copy at some point when we can gather back together again. But until then, since we can't have guests in studio, let's cover the book and help. Hopefully that's going to help our listeners be able to deal with the anxiety in their lives.
So many of you are looking forward to getting back to your Sunday service, the Catholics to celebrate Mass. David, you made a comment, I think, as we were talking about fear and anxiety. When do you plan on getting your group back together? What's your thoughts on this?
Ed, I don't know. I mean, it's just a real problem right now trying to think about getting back together again. Governor Cooper has allowed outdoor gatherings. That's fortunate that we're entering into the warmer months. We might be able to find some way to get together in a park or something like that to be able to have some fellowship, but we still have to practice social distancing.
The Catholics are allowing communion, and you go up to, you have to schedule it and go up to the priest or the deacon, and they have the face shields on and the masks and all. But as we were talking, bringing congregations back together, are you going to have to wear a mask? Can you sing through masks? I mean, there's just so much unknown.
All kinds of questions that just can't be answered right now. If you have a facility that seats, say, 1,000, but you can only get 200 in there because of social distancing, what's that going to be like when people are singing and praising? Folks normally love to hug. They like to hold hands and pray for one another. That's just not going to happen right now or perhaps anytime in the near future. It's just a new normal, not only for business and jobs. It's new normal for the church and synagogues and mosques and any kinds of religious expression. And people have asked me, what's all of this mean? Where are we headed as faith communities? And I honestly just don't know.
Well, in sporting events, you're going to have games without fans. you can't have a church service without people in the
How
pews.
How do you have worship without worshipers?
I mean, we're doing it virtually now, but that's not the same. Yet people have to gather, right?
It's the best stopgap the church can do. But, you know, there's a verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 that says, do not forsake the gathering together of believers. And there's something powerful when people come together and pray for one another, encourage one another, and do all those one another's together.
Two or three are gathered in my name,
I am present. But right now, you got to say where two or three are gathered with social distancing, six feet apart from one another.
Present.
But you're right. The Lord is still there. And it's important that we realize that. So today, what I want to do is to take the next chapter of my book. It's entitled Remember Your Body. And as all of us are experiencing some level of anxiety, let's not forget we have a physical body that's connected to our spiritual lives. And as we have those two intersected with one another, we need to remember that if we take care of our body, that helps our emotions, especially the emotion of anxiety. As we're all indoors, let's make sure we remember our bodies. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Well, what I want to do today is to continue my glance at my most recent book entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety. It's 12 Practical Strategies to Renew Your Mind. One of the chapters I wrote is entitled Remember Your Body. And since all of us are so enclosed right now, and we don't probably get out as much as we should, and we're not adhering to the need to take care of our human bodies as we should, I want to give a special message today to remind all of you who may be anxious that there's an inextricable connection between your body and your emotions. And when you take care of your body, you're taking care of your emotions as well, and vice versa. So I want to begin this time together today with this story from my past. After I had completed my seminary studies, I needed to be interviewed by a certain number of religious dons out there, if you will, people who were experts making sure that I was ready to be ordained, and they would examine me in the areas of Bible and theology and the Book of Order and ethics. They quizzed me for a couple of hours, asking me really tough questions, but I was a generally good student. I had done my work, and I was ready to answer every single question. Then came one final question. Mr. Chadwick, tell us about your prayer life. Well, I take prayer very seriously. I spend some time with the Lord most every morning in His Word, in prayer. I do journaling. I write out my prayers. It's just an important time for me to be with the Lord when I start my day. So I went in depth about how important prayer is and how I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and the union life with Jesus, my life in Him, His life in me. And I thought I'd given a pretty good answer. Well, at the end of it, I was thinking, now I'm going to be approved. Finally, another old, grizzled, real thoughtful, theological kind of a guy with his glasses on his nose stood up and said with a deep baritone voice, Mr. Chadwick, he said, how would you respond if someone called you a Gnostic? Now, for those of you out there that don't know, Gnosticism is spelled G-N-O-S-T-I-C-I-S-M. And it comes from the Greek verb gnosko, which means to know. Well, Gnosticism was an early church heresy. It was a mystery cult. Only a few really knew, that's from where the to know comes from, the true inner workings of this cult. And in this mystery religion, they seized upon Jesus' incarnation and they said, basically, God became one of us, but Jesus was not in human flesh. He was not in a body. He was merely a spirit. So as you look at him, it's just a spiritual revelation of who God is. It's not really a physical body. And that mystery cult lasted for a while until the church called together a council and declared Gnosticism a heresy. And by the way, dear friends, you can begin to know what you believe by looking at some of these early church heresies. There was another one called Docetism, D-O-C-E-T-I-C-I-S-M, and a docetic belief that Jesus was just body but not spirit. And what Christians believe is that God became one of us fully human in a fully human body, but also wholly divine, wholly spiritual. A mystery for sure how those two things are intersected, but that's what Christians believe. That's what the councils of the early church determined. So my grizzled theological friend was asking me basically, as you emphasize your prayer life as being so important, do you see Jesus as being only spiritual and not of a physical nature whatsoever? Fortunately, I had done my church history study, and I knew what Gnosticism was, and I was able to assure him and everybody else that I was not a Gnostic. I believe in also the spiritual and the physical being intersected and connected. Now, what does that have to do about this chapter in my book called Remember Your Body? The truth is, dear friends, that many of us in our faith walks can become Gnostics. We look at our faith as only spiritual, we only develop the spiritual side, and we fail to realize there's a physical side of our faith life as well. We need to take both very seriously, the spiritual and the physical. And when we do, we are being faithful to an understanding of who Jesus was and how our lives ought to be. Said another way, we can become so heavenly minded, we're no earthly good. We are spirits and bodies intersected with one another. So therefore, if we have an understanding of that reality, it should help us deal with the problem of anxiety. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23, Paul says that we are body, soul, and spirit. There are three parts of the human personality, and I find that fascinating when I think about the number of three-part divisions of our world. For example, there's earth, wind, and fire as a part of the elemental makeup of our created order. An atom has three different parts. Interestingly, in our theology as Christians, we believe in a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Would it also make sense that our bodies are made up in a tripartite division, body, soul, and spirit? Now, all of you listening right now, imagine the Olympic rings. Now, there are five of them intersected, all representing the five continents, but imagine three rings intersecting. There are three separate rings, but they have an intersection in the middle. Well, think of those three rings as body, soul, and spirit. Your body is this physical body that all of us have. It's the only one we're going to have on this side of eternity. Look forward to heaven when we are not going to have aches and pains and trials and tribulations. But on this side of eternity, this is the only flesh and blood body we'll ever have. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Your mind is how you think. Remember, in this book, over the past weeks, I've been reminding you, you are what you think. Whatever you think is what causes you then to feel your mind and your emotions, and then how you feel is what makes you make decisions. That's your soul. That's your human makeup. That's what makes you uniquely who you are, is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And then there's the spirit life. That's the guidance of God from the Holy Spirit who supposedly lives in us who believe. And the Spirit should be the one who guides us, but in our rebellion against God, that's not happened enough, and we're too often led by our body and our own souls, what we want, our decisions, what we feel, what makes us do what we want to do. So what we want to do right now is to mention that intersection of those three parts individually, body, soul, and spirit, and that's what makes you who you are. Now, if that's true, if body, soul, and spirit are all interconnected, that means that in our emotional life, what happens with our bodies will affect our souls. You with me, folks? That if you don't take care of this body that you have, it will affect your emotions in your soulish area. And that is a reality. It is truth. And if you just try to live life totally in the spirit or totally in your soul with your mind, will, and emotions and forget about your body's going to go kaput and your will and your emotions will go out of whack. So I want to remind all of you that we have a body and we have an emotion, and we have a spirit, and we've got to take care of our bodies in order for our emotions to be rightly cared for. We are body, soul, and spirit. Remember your bodies. When you take care of your body, your emotions will be healthier. My wife calls it temple upkeep. I love that. Temple upkeep. Paul said, do you not know your body is the temple of God in which the Holy Spirit lives? So think about that. We have a body that the Holy Spirit lives in, and the Holy Spirit then guiding us should affect our mind and our choices, which then make our emotions operate as they should. Here's my question for all of us today. Are you taking care of your temple? Are you taking care of your body? I guarantee you, especially during this COVID-19 crisis, if you're staying inside all the time, if you're not exercising your body, if you're not eating well, if you are imbibing caffeine and heavily caffeinated drinks and all kinds of alcohol, etc., if you're not drinking enough water, if you're not taking care of this body, I promise you, anxiety is increasing in your heart. It is a reality. You must take care of your body if you want your emotions to be well. And if you're not taking care of your body, it's contributing to exacerbating your emotions going haywire.
You know, David, I read somewhere this week, and I'd love to give the source, but I'm not so sure. Food is to be your medicines, so medicines don't become your food.
Boy.
Food is to be your medicine. So what you intake ought to be healthy, ought to allow you to live and be healthy. And if not, then your medicines will become your food.
Exactly. And I have a friend of mine. I was out to eat with him and his wife, and we were enjoying a great meal together. He was a bit rotund, overweight, and he ate his meal, and then his wife had some left over, and he ate that. And then actually, my wife had a little left over, and she said, well, do you want that to me? And I said, no, I really don't. Well, he grabbed that and ate that as well. And his wife said out loud, and they must have a great relationship because she held no punches. She said, you know, it's not what you eat. It's what's eating you. It's not what you eat, it's what's eating you. And my friend, as much as I love him, had some real issues he was dealing with, and Ed, he was medicating his pain with food, and he was using his food as his medicine. And as a result, he was contributing to what later was discovered to be a diabetic problem.
Oh, sure.
And when your diabetes is going crazy, I promise you, your emotions are haywire as well, and your anxiety levels increase.
Well, let's continue this topic when we come back. It's quite interesting. It's what chapter of the book?
It's in chapter 11. And when we come back, Ed, I want to look at a biblical example of how God restored emotions gone awry, a man who was living in depression, a man who wanted to die, who was even thinking about dying. It doesn't say suicide, but it certainly implies that, and how God restored his soul. What God did to give him new life is an astounding example for all of us today. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even when it's bad, praise God. Even when it's awful, blessed be the name of the Lord. When you learn how to praise in the problem, it really does make life different. Because, folks, if you complain, you remain in the problem. If you praise, you are raised above the problem. It's just such a wonderful truth all of us need to remember.
These Davidisms come out of constantly. Love them.
There are a bunch of them. I learned them from my dad. I've got a few myself after 40 years of ministry. You know, interestingly, folks, if you'd like to hear the podcast from beginning to end, please go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear the program from beginning to end. And also, Ed, there's something else that WBT is allowing with my show right now.
Yeah, and it airs again, an encore presentation at noon every Sunday. So if you've just caught part of it, or you've missed it, it's on at noon here on the News Talk 1110 WBT.
Thank you for that. I'm so honored that WBT would want to re-air it, and they're doing so in these extraordinary times, just trying to give people faith and hope in order to keep moving forward.
Absolutely.
Well, here is something I am trying to teach today. That is, we live in human bodies, and our bodies are connected to what's called our souls. Our souls are our mind, our will, and our emotions. And our bodies affect how we choose, and how we choose to live life is what we then feel. And one of my real beliefs in life, Ed, is that we need to have healthy human bodies. And since our bodies are connected to our emotions, when we have healthier human bodies, we have healthier human emotions. Sometimes when our emotions are going awry and they're just way off track, we don't need to go any farther than to look at what we're eating, what we're drinking, our lack of exercise, and all of that. And here's a biblical example to make my point. Elijah was one of the great Old Testament prophets. In fact, on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17, when Jesus took Peter, James, and John on top of the mountain to have some time of prayer together because Jesus was facing the cross in just a few days. This was an extraordinarily powerful moment for him. He wanted to take his inner circle to be with him, I think just to pray, have a spiritual time together. Well, while they're on the mountain, a cloud appears, and what happens next is extraordinary. Out of eternity steps two Old Testament characters, Moses and Elijah, the prophet. Well, one thought here, folks, is we all need to realize the veil that separates the visible world here and the invisible eternal world there is very thin. And I really believe we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who love us, are cheering for us to get to the finish line faithfully. I believe they include the saints of the Bible who lived in faith. I think they include the angels of heaven who are cheering us on. I think they include our loved ones. There are days when I hear my daddy whisper in my ear, "Son, keep moving." Now, he died 10 plus years ago, but I sometimes think I hear his voice encouraging me to keep being faithful amidst my own trials and challenges. And I think those cloud of witnesses are our loved ones, our moms, our dads, our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, our friends who've gone on before us. And in that eternal world, they're cheering us onward. And I think God occasionally allows a person or an angel to step from that world into this one. He did so with Elijah and Moses. Now, why did God allow those two to be the ones who would come and encourage his son? Well, Moses was the great lawgiver. He was the one who had the law given to him for Israel. Elijah was the greatest of the prophets. When he saw evil, he didn't hesitate to call it out. When he saw something he knew wasn't the Lord, he addressed it. He confronted it. So he was the one chosen by God to be representative of all the prophets. And in fact, Jews to this day at their Seder meal, their Passover meal, have an empty chair there thinking that Elijah is one day going to come back and sit at that table with him. That's how revered he is in Jewish circles. So Elijah was a great prophet, a great man of God. Well, during his time period, he had to do battle with two people. One was King Ahab, who was Jewish, but he married a godless foreign woman named Jezebel, and she was evil beyond words. She started bringing into Israel all of these Canaanite practices like child sacrifice and occult temple prostitution and just ugly, evil stuff that God had warned the Jews about. Don't be a part of that. That's not who I am. I am a holy God. That's offensive to me. Well, Elijah, again, the great prophet, didn't hesitate to call people out. So he called Jezebel out, and he continually confronted her in every possible way. She had as her prophets the prophets of Baal, B-A-A-L. Baal was just a name for all the Canaanite deities that allowed those godless practices to occur. So Elijah calls in a famine the prophets of Baal to the top of Mount Carmel. I've been to Israel. It's a beautiful mountain that takes you up thousands of feet. And they had basically a Super Bowl of faith. Elijah said, if your gods are God, during this famine, let God light this altar and give fire to it. And they went and wailed and they cut themselves and cried out to Baal and nothing happened. And Elijah finally said, okay, God, it's your turn. He actually wet the altar. During a famine, he takes water and wets the altar and says, now, God, do your thing. And God strikes the altar with fire. The people are so enamored with Elijah, they strike down the 450 prophets of Baal. They kill them. There's a sense of, yay, we're finally going to return to Yahweh and be him, following him alone. Elijah runs down off the mountain. You can think he's thinking, oh, man, there's going to be a revival that breaks out in Israel, only to hear that Jezebel, upon hearing that her prophets had been killed, was so angry she issued a fatwa on Elijah and said, man, I want you dead within 24 hours. Now, you'd think that this great man of faith would go, ah, you ain't going to win. Look at what happened on Mount Carmel. I got this thing under control. But something happened in his spirit. His soul collapsed, and he just started running. And he ran in the opposite direction from Mount Carmel. And he ran to the southernmost part of Israel called Beersheba. Normally a six-day walk he did in one day. That's how much he ran. He got to a broom tree, collapsed under the broom tree, and said to God, I'm done. Take me home. I want to die. It almost gives the implication he was suicidal. I don't think he would have taken his life. He was too great a man of God. But he wanted to die. He wanted to get out of here. And what God did with him is so interesting that I outline in my book, Moving Beyond Anxiety, in chapter 11, Remember Your Body. The first thing that God did to deal with Elijah's anxious heart, with his depressed soul, with his desire to die, the first thing God did was not to have him pray, not to have him worship. The first thing God did was, he said, remember your body, Elijah. He put him to sleep. He put him to sleep. And then after some hours of sleep, we don't know how long. I can tell you when I've been exhausted and just about ready to give up on life, sometimes 12 hours goes by in a heartbeat and I sleep through the night. Then God awakened Elijah, kind of, I think, shook his shoulders a little bit. And he awakened and found an angel was doing something extraordinary, cooking food. An angel was cooking food on an open fire. And folks, do you know what it's like when you smell crackling bacon in the morning when you wake up, or a fresh pot of coffee? Or here's the best example, a loaf of bread, freshly cooked. Well, Elijah woke up to that smell, and the angel fed him, I think, manna, angel's food, perfectly nutritious food. And then the third thing God did with Elijah, after he put him to sleep and fed him well, good food, he gave him water, lots of water. Folks, our bodies are mostly water. The best drink that God ever wanted us to imbibe is water. And then the fourth thing God did with Elijah was he put him back to sleep. He put him back to sleep. Now, here's my point. God knew that Elijah's depression and his anxiety was connected to his physical being. So God got the physical well before he addressed the spiritual. It's true. Our bodies and our spirits are inextricably connected. And Ed, isn't it fascinating that God dealt with Elijah's human body first before he addressed his negative emotional experience? And I think all of us need to learn that lesson. First of all, make sure you're getting enough sleep. Make sure you're getting at least 8 hours of sleep. That's what all sleep therapists say. And now I recently read that the older you get, and I'm getting a little older, they say you need 9 hours of sleep because your body needs that replenishment. When you sleep, God restores your soul. Psalm 23, when David said, God makes me lie down in green pastures before still water, he restores my soul. The second thing is he then fed him. Folks, make sure you're eating well. Not a lot of bad carbs, not a lot of highly sugared food. Don't do it. Thirdly, make sure that you are drinking lots of water. Make sure you're doing that. And then next, go back to sleep. Make sure you're getting some more sleep. What you'll find is your soul will be restored and your body will start getting healthier.
You know what they say, when you have a lot of pain, David, you can't think straight. When you're very hungry, you can't think straight. You get cranky. It all fits together for me.
And I just find it interesting that the great prophet Elijah, who was chosen by God to appear to Jesus right before his crucifixion,
in the transfiguration,
was a man just like us who just got exhausted, got tired, got depressed, got discouraged, got anxious. But when God dealt with him, the first thing he did was he healed his body before he ever addressed his emotions. Folks, remember your body. And when we come back, let's look at one more thing that needs to happen, and that's called exercise. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. We'll be right back. I've been looking today at a very real way to help overcome anxiety based on my book that I just wrote called Moving Beyond Anxiety. It's 12 practical suggestions on how to train your mind to think well and to use your body the way God intended it so that the emotional part of your life can be under control. And we looked at the previous segment about the prophet Elijah and how God restored his soul when he was at the point of wanting to die. The first thing he did was he put him to sleep. The second thing he did was he gave him great food. The third thing he did was he gave him good water. And the fourth thing was he put him back to sleep again. And then he called Elijah back to ministry. It was at that point that Elijah returned to serving the Lord, but he had to get his physical and emotional parts of his life together, operating in sync, and God did that with him, and he needs to do the same with us. So during this COVID-19 crisis, folks, be careful that as you sit around not being able to do a whole lot, that you don't sit around too much, and that you don't get enough sleep, and that you eat bad food, and you drink bad stuff, and again, you don't sleep enough. And when that happens, you can become more and more anxious. This body's connection to your emotions is inextricable. It's understandable. It is medically proven. And here's one more thing you must do. Make sure you exercise. Again, this is the only body you'll have on this side of eternity. It was meant to move. It was meant not to sit around. So make sure that you're moving your body in whatever way you can. We're in some delightful weather right now, so make sure you go outside. Just take a walk. If you will walk 5 times a week, 30 minutes per walk, it will lift your emotions. It will allow your breathing to get better. It will allow everything to feel better. If you are a jogger, if you'll jog 20 minutes 5 times a week, that will release in your body God's great antidepressants, his anti-anxiety medications. It's called endorphins. When you jog, it just releases endorphins. It's God's way of overcoming anxiety. If you can't get outside, just dance around your room. Put on your favorite song and just dance around the room. Get a CD and do some exercise and aerobics with somebody else leading you. Do some resistance training against your walls or just doing some push-ups or sit-ups on your floor. Just make sure you move your body and exercise. When you do so, it releases endorphins, and that is God's best way to overcome anxiety in your life.
Hey, many, many people out riding their bicycles as families now, which is great. Wear your helmets, of course, but bicycling is very popular in the neighborhoods.
That's another great way to exercise, Ed. And that is one of the good things that's come from the COVID-19 crisis. I'm seeing families together like I've never seen them before. I'm hearing of families worshiping together and praying together. Kids actually taking the lead on the spiritual part of their family's life. And it's bonding people together spiritually like God intended. It's supposed to start in the family even before you're supposed to go to church.
You have to move your body. And, you know, taking that 30-minute walk through the trails or on the streets or whatever, it just helps your cardio. It just helps you tremendously.
And don't you believe as well that as you look at creation and you see how God orders everything to fit together so perfectly, if God's on his throne and he's controlling everything, he's controlling this COVID-19 crisis. He is overseeing it. I don't know what he's doing exactly, but he is doing something in this, I think maybe to drive us deeper into him, to drive our faith experience more realistically, to drive us into family, to make our relationships more real. So God's sitting on his throne, and as you consider creation, as you walk around, that's another way for your faith to increase, and faith drives away anxiety. Those are at opposite ends of the spectrum. They are opponents to one another. They're UNC Duke in basketball. They're Ohio State and Michigan in football. They're Auburn, Alabama in football. They are at war with one another. Make sure, folks, you choose to be on the side of faith, and that's ultimately what solves anxiety.
Well, you're a big sports guy like me. There's no sporting events to watch now, so how do you fill that time?
Well, you should fill that time by maybe spending some more time with the Lord. Open your Bible. Read some stories like that story of Elijah, which will give you great hope in life. And as you develop that spiritual side of your life and faith increases, anxiety will flee. What's that old phrase, Ed, that fear knocked on the door of my heart? I sent faith to answer. Faith opened the door. Fear was gone.
There you go.
I think it's that simple. So, folks, continue to develop that part of your life.
Really, take a look at these shows, too. You can go back, check out the podcast, of course, for this show, but over the last 4 or 5 weeks, David's been covering different chapters of the book. They're all insights. He's speaking straight from the heart of this book he wrote. And where can they pick up the book, David?
The title's Moving Beyond Anxiety. Order it online. It's just 12 practical ways to overcome anxiety. I really believe, folks, medications, you may need to take them if your doctor tells you so. I can't argue that. But here's a way you might take some practical steps toward overcoming anxiety where God gives you his medications. And that's my purpose in the book.
Should we pray now?
I think so. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, the one I know is my own Lord and Savior, I come to you and I pray for all those who are listening right now. I know, Lord, that many people are feeling anxious. I pray that they would realize that anxiety is the result of where their eyes are focused. If their eyes are focused on the problem, anxiety will increase. But if their eyes are focused on you, the possibilities increase. I pray instead of focusing on the problem of the COVID crisis, we'd focus on the promises that you've given us, especially in your word, in the scripture, those great, magnificent, powerful promises that assure us you are in control no matter what may be going on in our lives. I pray for those who are lonely. I pray they'd have someone reach out and care for them. I pray for those who may be feeling like they might have the disease. I hope it doesn't happen. And Lord, if anybody listening right now has been diagnosed positively with the COVID problem, I pray they would be healed. I pray that you would give them a magnificent healing, and I pray they would build up those antibodies and never have to experience this again. For other listeners who might be concerned they're going to get it, I pray a protective bubble around them. For those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High, they can cry out in Psalm 91 language that I will not live in the terror of the night. I will not be affected by the deadly pestilence. It just won't happen. I pray, Lord, for all those listening that they would walk in such abiding faith and overwhelming joy that this disease would not harm them. No weapon formed against them will prosper, that they will be more than conquerors as they walk in life with you. I pray that they never feel any condemnation, that they are experiencing a retribution from you because of something they did wrong. For Lord, there's no condemnation for those who are living in you. I pray everyone would realize all things work together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. I pray, Lord, that all would remember that you are for us, not against us. You are a good, good Father. You're our daddy. Jesus, you yourself called God in heaven daddy. So should we. And a loving daddy will always take care of his children no matter what. So I pray for all of our listeners now that they'll walk in faith, not in anxiety. They'll see you in control. They'll see you on your throne. They'll know you're in control of everything, and nothing happens unless you allow it to happen and you're working all things together for that good and glorious purpose you have. Help us to love you more, Lord. Help us to love our neighbors, too, who are lonely and needy. And when we do so, we fulfill our reason for being on this side of eternity. I pray this in your name. Amen. And everybody, I look forward to talking with you all next week.